love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings. This is the automatically deleted husband and another day of concern. I am wondering if this EG buyout of a rapid RMS is a repeat of the Westar and collateral murder events. So let me explain that. But the other thing is, you might notice if you watch the video of this, I look a mess. The weather has warmed. It was about 90 degrees today. And I did take a hike, a small one. I went and saw my friend Mike Day. I haven't seen him in a while. And so it was just a 5-mile round trip. And came back with a bunch of paper towels. You know, a man needs his paper towels. But I saw him. He said he's been feeling bad for several days. Looked at him. And he looked awful. I just went through this a week ago, the last time I saw Gary. And you know, it brings thoughts to mind. But anyway, I had a phone call today. It was a that's why I'm, you know, when I'm out there in the heat, I sweat and I get covered in sweat. I've actually had some time to cool off, so I don't have the dripping on my face anymore, because I watched the Introduction 5 video, because it rips me apart. I got a call today, and we talked from Nirav, and we talked about the plans for the buyout and EG's plans. And from what I heard, I've heard words that were familiar. I was very careful not to dig into this because I'm familiar with these words and these attitudes. You know, it's fascinating because, did I mention it yesterday? The one thing, because I do think it was probably taken out of context, but there was one of the latest Project Veritas releases about a Twitter senior engineer who was talking about how, which this I believe very much, how the big corporate concern is if your mental attitudes and things of that nature. I mean, this is the wokeness to an extreme. And the comment he made was about working 4 hours a week. Now, that could have been a misstatement. It could have been an embellishment. It could have been accurate. Because what I've found from experience is when you get into a larger environment where money is flowing, the objective is to have a large staff to give you the excuse to have all that money flowing. And so the idea of somebody working 4 hours a week is very realistic. Right now, I get paid chicken feed, and I work 60 hours a week. Or 70. Because, you know, there's a difference between being woke and being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being someone who wants to protect my emotions, wants to feel good, or rather would want to be obedience to Christ and to love. But anyway, the conversation today, there was strong hints again about being part of the collective. Don't question the collective. Be part of the collective. And there were some things that are being set down as requirements. One one I'm having real trouble with because I don't know if I need to push this or not, but I might. I have not worked for someone directly. I've been self-employed now for many, many years. Because of the history that I've had, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be an employee of another company again. And I may be overly emphatic about that. So there's three possibilities, three general possibilities. One is they'll say, okay, you're not just simply a software developer that we can bring in as part of our team because you have you're an experienced software developer. But if that's the attitude, I'm not for them. If they look at me and say, you're the person who both architected and wrote 100% of Rapid OnSite, and because of that knowledge, the history of the industry, the history of what this does, we want that from you. If that's what they want, then maybe there's some good possibilities here. If they just want another software developer, I'm really tempted to walk. Really tempted. There is the requirement of being an employee rather than a contractor. And I've talked with Nirav on this. I haven't talked with EG directly yet. And the question is how emphatic to be. And my feeling right now is, well, what my comparison has been, when I took Jim Leonard to the hospital, medical clinic, they handed me the mask, you know. Anyway, that mask. And I put it in my bag, and I never put it on. So I kind of played along, but didn't step in, but was willing to put it on if that's what it took in order to do as an act of love to Jim Leonard and take care of him there. Because I was not trying to make a scene. I didn't want to wear a mask because it's stupid. I mean, it's not going against medical advice. It's stupid. Because again, all the evidence points to it, they're useless. But that same mentality, to what degree does it apply here? You know, because some, especially big corporations, you work for this corporation, you get vaccinated. Otherwise, you don't have a job. And obviously, not a chance. Not a chance. Because the walk I took today, I probably wouldn't be doing again. But, so there's that question. Do they just simply want a software developer? Do they have any idea what Rapid OnSite is? My assumption is not a clue. So there are two aspects to this. There's the buyout, which a lump sum is going to the people currently involved with Rapid RMS, and some of it is supposed to come to me. But that could fall through, especially if I'm adamant about some things. And, you know, to what degree am I willing to walk away from this? You know, this is not walking away from just a six-figure dollar job, you know. No, this is walking away from a six-figure payment. It's walking away from the opportunity to become debt-free overnight. It's a problem in my mind. And I don't want to do it because of arrogance. If I have to walk, I want to do it because it's right. It's a problem. I am struggling with this big time. Because in the dialogue I was having with Naroth, the idea, the memory, and the feelings just became vivid in my mind of what it was like to be a Westar. And of course, the results of Westar and the related collateral murder. Because that is a really big deal to me. I don't know what to do. But apparently, conversations directly between EG and me may start as early as next week or the following week. They're setting up a lab with, and when that equipment arrives, the interaction will start. And that concerns me. So it is my hope and my prayer that what all the things I do, I'll reflect Christ well in this. And I'll compromise where it's appropriate and stand firm where I should not compromise. And where I stand firm, it's because it's obedience to Christ, not my arrogance. It's a tough one. But one other thing that I wanted to express because I didn't do it yesterday because of obvious reasons, but there's more happening, and I will probably study that some more this weekend. But I mentioned Shireen Abdul Akhle. This is the reporter from Al Jazeera that was shot and killed in I think it was, I'm trying to remember where it happened, as they term it, occupied East Jerusalem. Because from the Palestinian perspective, they include the idea it's occupied. From the Israeli perspective, it's just East Jerusalem. But anyway, so again, but there was a there's a whole lot of things going on, and apparently the story that Israel, the country of Israel, has come up with continues to crumble. And they're doing a whole lot of stupid things. And it may be, it may cost them significantly. You know, it's even to the point that it's in the UN Security Council. So it's caught some momentum. But I highly recommend, there's a woman who works for Al Jazeera. You know, and again, the difference between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. She does a series periodically called Start Here, where she does a 5 to 15 minute video and describes particular things, provides some in-depth analysis of something. And a lot of them are done very well and very insightful. Several of them, because this is the thing I've noticed. What you do is you build credibility by doing a lot of things that are insightful and accurate. And then you have the muscle and the stage presence in order to put out something that is as biased as can be or conveys propaganda or whatever. And I've seen that with that Start Here program. She does a whole lot of really good stuff. And every once in a while, the stuff that she does, it's kind of like, oh, there's an agenda here. I mean, it's abundantly clear. I don't have an example off the top of my head, but you know, I've seen him. She does an excellent job. She is very articulate, very clear, and it's the program starts. She always starts with, "Let me introduce the question," and then there's this music, and she gets up and she walks to a chair, and so it's kind of a trademark intro that she has. And again, if you're in Saudi Arabia, a woman couldn't do that. But in Qatar, obviously, she can. And I do think she has developed a lot of credibility around the world. Again, because Al Jazeera is probably the most widely seen news media organization right now in the world. But seen as credible. But so much of the stuff they do is absolutely foul. But this one has that straddles the line. But anyway, she did I think it's a fairly long one, 15, 20 minutes on this journalist that was killed, and gives you a lot of the story from her death, the events around the death, the events around the investigation issues, and the events around the funeral. And watching that funeral, it's really disgusting, and it is interesting. The one comment was made about double standards, you know. And if you look at the video, for example, one of the points they make is how the Israeli police would come and grab the Palestinian flags and rip them off the hearse, off the church, off of other places, and they stole them. But look, I've seen this, and you see it in the men and the women who are part of the Israeli security forces, the police, and so forth. There's that air of superiority. You can see it in their face. Look at the way they strike people with their batons, the way they push people out of the way. You can see in the mannerism, "Move, you scum." You could see it. It's not, "Oh, you're biased against them." No, you can see it. You can see it here. You can see it throughout. It is something that is ingrained. You know, I've seen that in so many cases, not just in Israel, obviously. I've seen it, the U.S. military doing that, the U.S. police forces. I've seen it so many places. Because especially, one of the things I've noticed, you put somebody in a uniform, it gives you a commanding presence. You put somebody in body armor, it gives them an arrogance with that commanding presence. And, you know, when you essentially combine them, you have really strong body armor that looks good as your uniform. I mean, because this stuff is sharp. You know, the helmets that are, you know, nice, clean glass in front of you to protect your face and whatnot. It gives you that ability to walk through a crowd and not get hurt, but be able to hurt others. You've seen this in Australia, too, during a lot of the lockdown protests. The Australian police would go up to people and act very uncivil. You saw this when Trudeau cracked down on the trucker protest. Some of the things that happened were less than kind. And, you know, there is that. You can entice people. Come join us. We'll give you that fancy uniform. We'll give you the body armor. And we're doing the right thing because we've marketed the idea to you. And the other thing that really caught my eye was the comment she made describing the funeral. And, you know, it reminded me in a real sense. It's been a year now, over a year, hasn't it? When the U.S. assassinated, it was assassination of Soleimani, the Iranian general. They assassinated him in Iraq because he left Iran, went to Iraq to meet his counterpart, and so they could assassinate him in Iraq. This way, he didn't have to do anything you know, they could get away with it in Iraq. If they assassinated him in Iran, Iran would have responded big time. But the issue is his funeral was attended, you know, again, just one of the gatherings was over 1 million people, and there were several. So there was at least 2 million people at his funeral. So, and, you know, I've seen him over the years. This guy is respected and loved and has the reputation outside of the U.S. of being one of the greatest foes of ISIS and being the one who has done the worst to damage ISIS, which the U.S. has to belittle him and lie about him because the U.S., as Hillary Clinton says, we created ISIS. Which, I mean, look at the history. We did. You know, ISIS, a non-government organization, NGO of the U.S. government, anyway. But you saw that crowd of mourners. Shireen's funeral had one of the biggest, as she described, one of the largest gatherings of mourners in a long time in Israel. It was a huge crowd. And again, they're Palestinians, but where did the funeral happen? She's a Christian. It happened at a church. So, you know, probably the largest percentage of the people who were mourning her were, you know, probably atheists, but Muslim and Christian. But the issue is, she's Palestinian and American. My guess, I don't know why. She's called a Palestinian, or, you know, Palestinian American, born in Jerusalem, and a parent. I'm guessing one or both of the parents are American, and therefore that she's called a Palestinian American. I don't know why. I have to find that out. But the statement that was made on that Start Here video: the people were not allowed to mourn. And, you know, there's the verse about mourn with those who mourn. You know, I can think about her family, people who are close to her, her co-workers, and so forth. Yeah, they needed time to mourn. I fully understand that. And I respect that. And when people come with clubs, stun grenades, and violence, you're not allowing them to mourn. And by the way, that's Old Testament. That's in the Tanakh. So you look at the people from Israel and think they follow the Tanakh, you are blind. But the reason that the not allowing them to mourn hit me this is a neat stack anymore. I'm not allowed to mourn. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, I understand. I have the evidence right here. You hate me. I love you. I love you intently. I will not turn from you, and I want you back.